and welcome to Hanalyze This, the self-help podcast that just can't help itself. I am Hannah Hart, and today I will be interviewing a martial artiste who tells me some of the more enlightening sides and some of the darker sides of what it takes to be a part of the martial arts community, or rather, this person's experience of it. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Being here, Alec Gottschalk.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so happy you're here on Hanalyze This, and I'm so happy we get to talk about a subject that I've always wanted to sit and talk with you about, but because of our energy carriers, like, I don't think are we supposed to be on the same timeline? Like, you know?
Yeah, we are. Yeah. For sure. At least like 11 timelines.
Yeah. Like, and so like, I've always wanted to sit and like, just sit and talk with you about this, but the subject feels really sacred and really big, and I don't know if it's me carrying stuff into that or what, but today I would love to share your understanding, your depth of knowledge, and a bit about your personal journey as it relates to the study of martial arts.
Lovely.
What was your first experience of martial arts?
It happened and then I couldn't remember it. So my first real one is like 1985, and my parents, they own a dojo. So I didn't know
what it was.
Yeah.
You're like big room, big mirror, ballet, like whatever. Like
a lot of yelling, a lot of like stuff like that. So I was just like, okay, that's normal. But I didn't exactly know the depth of it, and I didn't know that's how my family earned its livelihood.
Yeah. What brought on? Tell us a little bit about your family background. It's, you know, a podcast, so people can't see you or anything. So what is your family's background culturally? Like, do you have a lot of dojos in the fam?
No, not so much. We have like a headquarters type of thing in Orange County. And I want to say that it's like a multicultural affair. I didn't really understand. I don't really understand it now, but my mom escaped from Cuba. And so she's a fighter. Everyone in my family is like a fighter, but that's just analogous to anyone. Anyone's a fighter. If you have a heart, you're fighting something. So
this is under the preconceived notion that that humans have hearts. Don't get it.
If you're a future human, I'm sorry.
I didn't know.
But yeah. So then, they had like holiday party, come and bring your kids. So I was able to come because I wasn't like training. I was too young.
How old were you around this time?
I think 4 or 5, but technically 5 is when I started.
Oh, I see. So correct. If I'm hearing you correctly, your parents had a dojo before you understood what was taking place inside of it.
Yes. Okay. I don't even remember. Like I didn't have memories formed around it. But in this particular day, they had like a sumo tournament just for like kids to go and have like a grappling thing.
Cool.
So they invited me to do it and I had so much fun.
Like they made a ring and they were like, okay, here's the only rule. Don't get pushed out of the ring.
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
And some other child really helped me and just was having fun with me and everyone was screaming and loving it. And I thought, oh, I want to do this again. And then I came back the next week and it was like, karate, just like not that.
Yeah.
So I was like tricked into it.
Oh, so you thought you were getting into like a more grappling based martial art.
Yes.
Like name some different styles of martial art. So when you say, oh, I thought we were going to be doing more physical grappling, but then it was karate. What is that? What's that jump?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think that in the grappling arts, there is a higher degree of physical control, of body-to-body control over another human. And in the more striking arts, there's a free movement phase where there's not maybe like somebody grabbing you and pinning you down, but you're moving around with different angles, trying to create openings to fire off a shot and then take a defensive posture, something like that.
It's like energetically like... The
striking
arts, it sounds like, are more about controlling and moving, like flowy, and then the body ones are very grounded, using like force or motion, not force, like, but like, you know what I mean, that kind of thing.
I think so.
They're both. I mean,
slaves of physics.
So okay, I mean, yeah, true, but different styles. Wow. Okay. So what is, so they decided to go towards karate. So touching back about your mom, like how does a woman enter into karate and then like, how does that happen? What's that story?
I don't know the full extent of it, but I think...
Is it shrouded in mystery?
A little bit.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
I think it's under the guise of self-preservation of some sort. I don't know exactly, but like...
Protective?
Yeah, like protect my family, protect myself against something, against like an unknown thing. Like if you're like in the 80s, grew up with like, oh, the Night Stalker's around the corner.
Prowlers.
Yeah, genuinely he was, because we lived in Mission Viejo. Okay, so that happened actually, but
a little bit necessity, a yes. little bit like, you know, we had a prowler in my yeah. neighborhood too. But we also lived right next to the train station. Anyway, a little bit necessity, like I'm a woman, I live here, I'm going to learn how to protect myself, defend myself, and potentially protect and defend my family.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And so that evolves over the course of study into I'm going to teach others how to do this too.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, cool. So are your parents the teachers?
Yes.
Oh, oh, cool. So at 5 years old, after the grappling, you decide, I want to start learning karate.
Yes.
Okay, cool. So what was that like?
It was like, we bow, come into the mats, and it's just basically like my dad is teaching me how to do like a front kick, like a front snap kick. And I was just like, oh, this is cool. I didn't know.
Like standing on one foot, bending at the knee.
Exactly, yeah. Literally that, like balancing on one foot, pretending I'm like picking up buckets of water and like keeping still, like a kung fu movie or something. And then I was like doing this movement with my foot and I thought, oh, this is neat. So it was the first time of me understanding like if I move my body in a certain way, other consequences happen, certain things happen. And then I kept asking like, oh, when are we going to do that sumo thing again? I don't know.
Yeah, like when are we going to wrestle on the ground?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. And I understand that this is all connected, but also
right.
the rolling around on the ground part really was, oh, it was great. Yeah. What a relief. Oh, what a great use of energy. Do you mind letting our listeners know what belts you have or what you study?
Oh, sure. It's like I am a black belt in Shotokan karate, and that's pretty traditional.
What's Shotokan?
There is a person that took this art from Okinawa, hit their own interpretation of it, and then went to mainland Japan and spread it through Japan. And in this case, I'm just like basically dancing around in space.
Yeah.
But that's what I love about it. So Shotokan has like many explosive movements, really setting your body in a specific form.
To do damage, to exert as much force?
As much as possible in the shortest amount of time.
Oh, so it's not more of a defensive based one. It's more of an...
There are elements of both. And probably a good argument is could be brought up for like, this is why it's defensive. I'm not going to do that, but...
So what you're hinting at from my perspective outside the martial arts community is that there's a lot of dogma and over-intellectualization and boundary making.
Perfectly, yeah.
In the martial arts community. Okay, so that's what we're saying about it. Okay, so even to name them reminds you of people being like, I practice blah, 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 yeah. and only blah, blah, blah. Mm. And you can't, you're not a real, is that?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. That, I get you. Oh, okay. Oh, that sucks.
No, yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, that kind of really takes, but that's the same thing as religion, man. Christianity is the same way, right?
We're just primates.
Yeah, seriously. We could take anything good and spiritual and connective and make it property-based with the understanding that people really strictly adhere to these things in a way that has been negative and has negative consequences. Would you tell us what you've studied?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm pretty terrible at it, but I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu often. I try to do it almost every day, but it's probably like 4 times a week. I'm a blue belt at it, so that's pretty like intermediate level, beginning level.
Yeah, it's great though. I mean, not because of the leveling, but because, I mean, I've always wanted to study martial arts.
Yeah.
And I've fallen into the sunk cost fallacy that now it's too late for me to start, you know?
Yeah. I think that you could do it and you would really be great at it. And then there would be, you would just embrace the struggle of like, oh, I'm fighting against my ego.
Yeah, it's an ego thing.
Why can't I kill this person?
Well, I want to, I think it's also like, well, how could I start if I'm not going to dedicate my life to it?
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, I do think I would be great.
Mm-hmm.
I am good. I'm very body aware. And when I was a kid, my mom was like, we need to get you martial arts, because I was already expressing my body's energy in ways that were not positive, you know, like just being a destructive little kid. But yeah. Like, I've heard, and maybe you can help actually explain this to me. Why would people encourage kids to go into martial arts? Oh, but that might be hard for you to even explain because your family had a dojo. But like, what do you perceive as?
I think maybe for my case, they were like, we want him to stay on the path of good, and we want him not to be soft. We don't want him to learn.
Well, good
to,
and soft are not opposing terms, right. Are they?
I think that was kind of a benefit for me to be like, you could learn to play piano really well, and you could also like move out of the way of someone's kick. It's not like mutually exclusive.
Do you know how to play piano?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. So was it hard to study piano and a martial art simultaneously? Or like, was there a...
It was... Anything is hard if you don't have the support. It depends on like...
Why dedicate... Oh, yeah. Got it.
If your parents are like, no, this is your plan. Like, what if I want to like...
But you're already so good at karate. Yeah. Why wouldn't you just stick with karate?
Right, yeah.
Why do you want to make... But that's just a different art, man. Yeah. What they had in their hands was an artist at heart.
Yeah.
Well, why do they call it a martial art?
Oh, gosh. It's like the arts of like Mars. Marshall is like from Mars, the god of war. They're under the blessing of like the god of war. Is like Mars is like, I'm taking what's mine. I am the alpha male of this group of primates.
I am controlling a situation.
I have a cape and a spear.
Yeah, yeah. I make the rules. The rules are morality, by the way. So if you don't follow my rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is like that for me a lot of the times. But I think the way I frame it differently is like, it's moving around and your body likes that.
And that's an art.
Yeah.
So if it would be more like, yeah. Well, so it's a defense and attack practice. And so they call it martial because it's something like that. And then arts because there's an art to it. I mean,
because it's like, we want you to not truly break each other's noses, but we want you to like kind of learn how, just in case, you know, just in case you might have to.
Okay, so now I have a real big question about that. And we're going to get to that question right after this. Something that is like blowing my mind. You know, martial arts is both an art and a sport. So there's a competitiveness, etc. But it's also like a weapon.
Yeah.
Like, okay, how dangerous? Okay, so you studied jiu-jitsu and Shotokan karate.
Karate!
And the question I asked you before was, why do you think other parents brought their kids in? Just to make them tough? Just to make them cool? Because I always heard about martial arts from the, like, Zen perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I was, like, in the Bay Area. I don't know if it's because my mom was into lots of different theology. But the way it was explained to me was that it's a... Oh, no, wait. Oh, my God, I forgot. My dad had a black belt in Taekwondo. He never showed me anything, but... When I was a destructive kid, I think that's where they got the idea. I totally forgot that he did. Okay, anyway. From the perspective of, it will help you be in your body or or something?
Something like an equalizer. Like, if you're too crazy, we'll bring you down. And if you're not crazy enough, we'll bring you up. We'll make you balanced.
Oh my God. So you have kids there that are like, hey man, you got to get a backbone. We're going to toughen you up by making you take a martial art?
Yeah.
Oh, just describe to me. I can't even imagine. Can you describe to me, like, you as a kid? I'm sure you weren't perceiving the other kids as much, but on the off chance that you were, how would you describe the group that you studied with? Were they the same group the whole time?
No, a lot of people came and went. I was with the kids' class for a while, and then I was thrown into the adult class when I was, like, really young, probably too young. But... I think that it's like a sink or swim environment most academies that you train in. And then you will adapt to the environment, whatever that is, regardless. If it's like a cult, you'll become a cult member. If it's like weak in like a McDojo, you'll become, you won't realize.
A McDojo?
Yeah.
A McDojo? What's a McDojo, Alan? What's a McDojo, Alan? Don't worry, it's a small show.
There should be like a grade. Like, you know how restaurants, there's like an A grade.
Yeah, A, B.
We should have that for martial art dojos. We should have that. We should have something.
Oh my God. Yeah. A training school
should
get a grade. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Like A, B, C, D. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so you're saying there's people that are like, I'll teach you karate. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
What did I just learn? Like, oh, like nothing. Oh, cool.
So in your area, so you got put into the kids class. Okay. So it sounds like from the kids to the adults, what I'm hearing is that your experience on the path of studying martial arts became linear, like lateral, like achievement based.
Yeah.
Pretty fast.
Pretty quickly.
That sucks.
I know. It's, thank goodness I don't have to do that now. I might choose to do that still because I'm just like, I am engulfed. I'm entombed in this thing, like.
Just, well, I mean, your body—it's not the body keeps the score, man. Yeah. You're never gonna not know it, and you're not. That's the way you live inside yourself, which I think is worth embracing, though, too. But I guess when did the grappling versus karate, and then being good at it and being in the adult classes? Mm-hmm. Did you love it? Like, was it love based? Like, if I'm watching the Alan Godshaw documentary, is it? Oh, and he just, like, everything was karate.
Yeah, it's that. I love the thing inside of me that I would perceive as, like, a giant beast of, a fiery, like, thing that just would, basically, that's what I was. And I didn't understand if that could be, like, a thing of violence. I didn't understand it. I couldn't perceive it. It was like, that's how you win.
Mm.
My mind was in an illusion. It's basically in a delusion of like
win lose.
Yeah. You have a winner's mindset of like, no, the whole time you're dominating someone else, you're destroying their will to fight. You're destroying their like, and you didn't realize like, oh, you might be destroying their dreams. You might be like hurting them physically, but none of those things matter. You're just
because
like,
you're in such a primal part.
Yeah.
That communal empathy we're supposed to have as a functioning society, which I think we have many examples of how that's not something uniquely lost. Like that's lost. That is, but that you, your empathy felt shut. You'd shut it off to be in this primal part.
Right.
Oh, Alan, God, I think that is so like, doesn't get like, you know, when you're transgressing, or sorry, like when you're transgressing against someone's body or like having an interaction that physical or like you're in that with someone else.
Yes.
To be that primal fiery part, but then also to have that watery, like empathetic, artistic piano playing part, you kind of have to really like shut off to get into that headspace.
Yeah, I agree. They might not, in my world, from my experience, like they might have been compatible, but they were
not in the way you were taught.
Yeah, they were neighbors. They weren't the same person. They were kind of like adjacent to each other, but maybe not like. And then I didn't probably figure this out until later. We had some friends much later on be like, oh, yeah, you're like crazy. And I'm what? Like, yeah, I know I'm dedicated. Like, no. Like,
what was that like? What, as an example, what would that be in reference to? Like a tournament or like a, oh no, sorry, I'm practicing this, so I'm not, you know, eating sugar or like, I don't know. What was that in reference to?
I think one of the first times it happens, it didn't dawn on me. It's just like, oh yeah, that's normal. When my friend, he and I were in a tournament together and he said like, you broke my ribs. And I was like, oh no. All right. And then just like, that's it. Like, didn't understand what that meant in terms of like, physical
like you
pain.
Had fractured one of his ribs. Oh shit.
And I thought, oh, it just sucks. What's for dinner? Like this kind of like I didn't have the capability to absorb someone else's pain and realize like, oh God, that could
be terrible. Continue to perform at the level you were performing at. You know? There's one thing I was told, like it's so interesting that we talk about those two forces, and like when you have them both in you strongly, really having to engage with one side of it if you're not taught the way to like have both.
Yeah.
And I remember something that I learned about, like, this is like, my dad never talked about martial arts. He never talked about it. My mom was the only one. She was the one who told me, like, oh, you should do this. That's what your dad used to do or something. Because she saw I was a very physical person. But he told me, the only way, if you ever really want to like hit someone or something, you have to imagine your hand already moved through it. And I'm like, I could never do that to another person.
That's nice.
I would have to really shut off a big part of myself to do that. Even in a, like, I, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I like, I wish I wasn't, you know, like I wish I could do something like that, but I don't know if I could, like, I, even though it's like, because I also used to, like, wanted to study boxing, which is also a martial art. And I started to when I first moved to LA.
Oh, nice.
But then my coach, or like the person that was teaching me, wanted me to start sparring against other people.
Yeah.
And that's when I quit. Because I could not, what it would take to shut that part like off.
Yeah.
Would be really hard to turn it back on.
I think so.
You know?
Like, I love boxing.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Or does that?
I hear exactly what you're saying, and I feel that. I studied boxing, and I feel the same way. Like, I can't punch anyone. Not only can I not punch someone, but if I punch someone, I have certain, like, concussions from, like, being hit in the back of the head that if I do hit somebody later on that day, like, if I just hit a bag as hard as I can, I won't remember certain things throughout the day just because I have like secondary concussion syndrome.
Oh my God.
So like my friend on Facebook sent me a message or something and I was like, oh, that's weird. His name is all jumbled up. That's not my friend.
Oh my God.
And then I just kind of like forgot who my friends were for a second. Like, oh no, something bad is happening. So like I can't even punch something as hard as I can. So what? That's why like strangling is better.
In a life or death scenario, it's good that you know what you'd have to go to.
Because
what's the point of living a life if you're lost in it?
Right?
You don't want to punch somebody and be like, I did it, everyone. Uh-oh. Well, good night.
Yeah.
When did you get a concussion?
Oh, my first one is probably early on, but like when I was...
What's early on?
Like being hit in the head too hard, that's like concussion, but...
I don't know.
So like...
I don't know. Is it? Yeah. I imagine concussion is only... like what happens to football players.
Oh, okay.
Total loss of consciousness.
Oh, I see.
But does the brain get damaged from more than just something that extreme?
Yes, I feel that the levels that they give in concussion are pretty accurate, but not necessarily like too truthful when it comes to like the long lasting effects of it. But anytime your brain just hits against your skull is a concussion. Even someone like shaking your head too like hard.
Oh yeah, you don't shake a baby.
No way. Yeah.
I know. It's so funny when like they put that in like an ad or something. There was something in the 90s or something that was like blah, 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 shaking babies. And I was like, who would shake a baby? Like, what the? That was so disturbing to me because I was like, there are people out there who don't know not to, or who lose their emotions so intensely they could shake a baby. Like, just like, what is that? And it was like on TV.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, a little kid, like, okay.
Let's put it on like a subway. You have they to remind it, people.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, that and that one meth ad, which is like meth, meth. And it was like talking about like the negative things about meth. And then I was also like, oh my God, people like, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if it worked. It really did raise awareness of drugs.
I've never done meth.
I've never done meth either. Yeah. For the record.
Because of that commercial.
Because you know what? I'm not going to lie. Because of that commercial. Get these bugs all out of my place. Blah, 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 blah. Meth. Meth. Yeah, that commercial. I never did meth because of that. I'm so glad we both have never done meth.
Oh, God, no.
Really effective. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I take back everything I said before about those ads not working. I guess they really did.
I hope so.
Well, also, like, seeing someone crawling around on the bathroom floor, like, I think that was a part of the ad, too. And they were like, I was like, what am I looking at? Yeah. They're like, now back to X-Men.
For sure.
You know? Okay. So, You got your first concussion when you were pretty young.
Yeah, but I don't know exactly when, but I had a terrible concussion when I was like 15 or 16. I got into a fight with a whole bunch of people, like 8 to 10 people. And
like a fight?
Yeah, like somebody's going to die here. And it was just like, I think over some stupid stuff. Also, I'm saying I think because like, I don't remember all of the things that happened. I woke up like, I didn't get knocked out, which is so weird. They hit me in the head with a bottle.
Oh my God.
And I was like standing conscious, but
connected. Mm-mm. Oh my God. That's like brain trauma. That's like trauma.
So anytime if I can't complete a sentence or anything, just remember that like, oh yeah, this kid has had brain trauma.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But that was outside. That was not in the dojo. That was not outside. Sanctioned.
Yeah.
Oh, but wow. The unspoken risk of teaching your kids all this stuff. Like you kind of have to teach martial arts with the sports and the skill aspect alongside the mindfulness. Otherwise you're just making
demon weapons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to equally, whatever you do, you teach a kid to punch 10,000 times a day, you have to teach them like...
to meditate 10,000 times a day. Mm-hmm. Wow. So when did that part become part of your study or practice or awareness even?
I think...
because it sounds like that 15-year-old Alan did not think that way.
No, I did not. But also after that, I had to question my whole existence because it was really difficult to keep like a ribbon connected to people just like... in terms of like minute to minute, because my brain was injured. My brain was like damaged. So I think at that point, one of my friends was going to a nationals or something. And I was like, oh, I'll help you with it. So we were doing a whole bunch of like listening to music was like Tai Chi stuff. Mm. I'm like, this is weird. Cause we were like watching a lot of anime or something. Mm. So we were doing all these kind of crazy, weird practicing. And I realized because I love that guy so much, I didn't want to like do any techniques on him, like to hurt him. But he actually, that it gave him confidence, and we did go over like strategies and stuff. He actually won the nationals.
So oh wow.
It was just a really cool thing.
Yeah.
I didn't think it
but
was
but listening to the Tai Chi, like did that come from his school of training? He's like, oh, or no, were just, you guys just doing
yeah,
it like
we're
let's
just, we were just enacting like a Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, like kind of oh episode. But the music it was like oh cool.
So I thought like, oh, so he won, even though we didn't like hurt each other. We didn't like go crazy and scratch at each other. Like it's still possible to practice strategy safely in a safe environment. You love the person, so you're not going to hurt them. Mm. So then that was like an eye opening thing. There are several epiphanies like that throughout my life. And it's always love. It's always like someone showing empathy towards me. It was never like, oh, someone punched me so hard in the face, I'm not racist anymore. It's like, no, sorry.
Yeah.
It's all love. It has to be
that. It has to come from a place of love, not a place of aggression. Mm. Yeah, for it to... But that's the other side of the coin, though, because it sounds like these fires were really stoked and nurtured and encouraged and praised. And that was the way that love came through, but it's only coming through one way.
Oh, that's like, I got attention.
Yeah.
But I didn't, that's in my opinion now, I don't think that's love. That's like attention.
It's what love might look like if you're pointing it through one way to love some, like a fire itself. Like that's what it might look like if it was like light traveling through glass. Like those intentions will color the effect of the love, but the love's probably coming through from a pure place.
Oh, that's
love.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I have to, but that's the way I think about people.
That's really gorgeous.
Yeah. It's like our egos and our consciousness are the glass. Mm. And then like our human core chi soul being, like that empathetic part is the light. And then it pushes out through. So whatever color your vessel is, like your glass, like that's the kind of energy you're pushing out, even though it all comes from the same source.
Mm. I love it.
That's what I'm like, but then, you know, get a couple drinks in me and then all, it's all fire. Yeah. It's all fire. It's just like energy, which is why I have so many hobbies. Mm. okay. Speaking of hobbies, we're going to continue funding those hobbies by taking a quick break and we will be right back. So would you say that martial arts, like pursuing martial arts, was the like center of your life growing up?
Yes.
Okay. And then did that change? No. Would you say it's like still your center today?
Yeah, it's my ikigai. Just the
reason for living?
Yes, exactly.
Tell us about that.
I have to do it. There's something in me that's like, you've wasted your day. A voice telling me, like, if I haven't done it, if I haven't done any shadow boxing, even if I do nothing, I have to shadow box in my carport. Mm. I have to dodge pretend punches thrown at me mm-hmm. from a giant ogre.
You have to do something.
Yes.
To express it, to perform it. I think, honestly, I saw the Bruce Lee documentary about Kung Fu or Gong Fu. And it was really incredible because he was so much more of like a poet than I knew.
Yeah.
And the way he described his relationship to the spirit, the body, the earth, and his time on it was so fluid.
Mm.
You know?
Yes.
And it makes sense that if you have access to a way to disperse this energy from your body in like a healthy, safe way, that doing it every day, like once you know that feeling, what, how could you want to do anything else?
Yeah.
Right? But realistically, people can't, right? You can't spend your life like, why aren't you teaching at a dojo, Alan? Like if it's your ikigai and yeah. you need to practice every day, like what, I think people might expect that you would be like a teacher, like a sensei.
I was. When I was living close to my parents, I taught for 20 years at least, but...
You taught for 20 years?
Yeah, because I started teaching like at 12.
Oh, okay.
As like an apprentice with my family. So then at like 15, then I was like able to cover people's classes. I was able to just, if my parents were at like a tournament across the state, I was able to teach classes for them at a week at a time. I wasn't realizing like, oh, this is actually, this is teaching.
Yeah.
But for example, something like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I don't think I have the ability to teach well. I might be able to show a couple techniques, but
yeah,
the depth of it, it's nothing like my able to do like a stand-up art.
Right, right, right. But then, so you taught for like 20 years and if you were... So teaching was a big part of it.
It was.
Yeah.
Every day.
But that's also hard then with the whole like balance of power inside your, like the two wolves within you balance of power is that you're a kid.
Yeah.
And a teacher, it has to be empathetic. You mean, and they're children teaching children at that point, right? So they have to, so it's almost like you've got the two wolves within you of like the empathy and the, and the fire and like the action one. Yeah. But then if you're a teacher and you yourself have not even found your place in it, like that's a big, being a sensei would probably be a very big responsibility.
I think so. I think that there was a lot of things that I regret as well. Like just in terms of like, you need the child to do this. The probably quickest way is to yell really loud and they'll do it. Stuff like that. I just thought, oh, that's fine.
I can't imagine you yelling. I've never known that. Like I can imagine you yelling. Yeah. I mean, I can, like, but yeah, interesting. I've always known you as a very gentle person.
Oh, God, thank you. That's how I tried to, like, fight against the old version of myself. I just want a best version of myself, so that's the main reason I do martial arts. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, I mean, it would take a lot of consciousness, a lot of mindfulness, a lot of body awareness to have both, like, because you can't fight against your old self. There's you don't win that fight because there is no old self. It's right. All you, you know. And so it's like making peace. I think about this, like, I think about dyeing my hair, like bleaching it. I was like, no, that's my old self. But like my therapist is like, you really can't resent any stage of your life development.
Oh, I love that.
You can't. So that's also like embracing that, even though you've grown past them. It's like saying like, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. And then the next level of me is this, which is where I'm at right now, which doesn't want to yell or thinks that there are better ways to, or different ways to express.
Can I tell you something so weird?
What?
In that same vein, like I really love that. And I have yesterday, the day before when I train, it's almost like a form of penance. Like my old version, like a new 300-pound dude is smashing me. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, thank goodness. This is like I'm making up for the time I was like a bad teacher or something.
Or you're living out, or alternate, two sides of the same coin, or you're being the five-year-old playing in the grappling pit, which is something you never got a chance to do.
100%, yes.
You know, which is a great way to honor yourself. Like, that toggle between, like, I'm drawn to this thing that would be healing for me, and, like, the shame penance.
Yeah.
Like, part, those, like, the you that is there in the grappling pit, like, it's still you. It's all the yous up in that moment. And I think it's great. And you deserve to have a 300-pound guy totally overpower you, dude. I want that for you.
It happens.
I believe it. I believe it. It's very physical.
I'm just honored. I'm just so honored.
You're just like, wow, you kicked my butt. Yeah. You took me to the ground, yo. I really thought I was going to win this, but I did not.
No.
That must be kind of fun and humbling.
So much fun.
Yeah.
So too much fun. It's addicting and also so humbling. Like, one of my friends yesterday, like, I didn't tap him out one time. And he said to me, I haven't trained in like 3 years or 3 or 4 years. And I was aghast. Like, I thought, it seems like you'd never stop training. And then I said, like, what an honor. Thank you so much.
Doing it with me right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in his mind, he said something like, thank you for like helping me get the cobwebs out or something.
Yeah, dust off, like shake out the cobwebs.
Right, right.
So when you say I didn't tap him out once, what does that mean? That you didn't make him submit, or he didn't make submit?
He probably made me submit, I think, 3 times.
Yeah.
In an 8-minute period. So we have like eight-minute rounds.
Yeah.
I didn't get him one time.
Oh my God. I'm so proud of you for like feeling how that's like a cool experience, not like a damn it one.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. That's awesome. Because like, sometimes when you go towards things that have powerful impacts on you, and if you have that toggle between the, I'm drawn to something that has the potential to be healing, penance, suffering. Let me see if I can turn this thing into that, you know, like, not being able to make this guy tap out sounds like the old stuff trying to pull you back in, man. Yeah. You know?
Yes.
But you are taking it and using your mind and your consciousness, which no matter how much it's been bonked around, it seems like it's doing pretty good. I think you're doing a good job. To say like, holy shit. Wow. Let me look at this differently. Wow, dude. That's great.
Yeah.
You know?
Sincerely.
Yeah. That's big. Well, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm very proud of you. You should be proud of you too. Well, so martial arts will be a part of your life for the rest of your life because it's the way you know how to be in your life.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Even though it's not the only thing in your life anymore.
True. Yeah. I have to categorize everything in my life with that as the prism of my framework of my perception.
So like, I'm going to keep this a part of my life, but it won't be the center of my life. Or like it is because it's a philosophy. It's a mind state. Like,
yeah, I like that. I really think that that holds the most space in a functional society where I'm not like walking down the street like, let's go, brother. Let's fight it out. We don't know who's dominant here. Like, that's not going to work.
You wanted me to pay for these groceries? Take me to the ground.
Yeah.
Take me to the ground. Yeah. And then you're like, wait a minute. You have running water. Did you get that water into those pipes? It's like, okay. I won't take this guy to the ground. It's like, that's why we live in a society.
Yeah.
Like, you got to the grocery store on a road. Right, did you pave that road? No. Like, this is why we don't take that guy to the ground. You know, that's the evolution, hopefully. But so what I hear you say now is that it's your prism. So it's like karate is the vessel. Like, it is you. There is no Alan without martial arts.
That's true. Yeah.
It is so deeply ingrained in you.
Yes.
Wow.
So for example, that was the start of it. Like in Okinawa, I went to Okinawa one time and did like kind of full contact karate. And that was cool. That was fine. And then when I went to mainland Japan, I studied judo. I didn't really study karate. I did karate on the rooftop of where I lived.
Yeah, but you knew it at that point.
Yeah.
Like, so I assume you have a black belt.
In judo? No, I don't think I'm ranked.
No, but in karate, if you're able to teach it and be alone with it.
Yes.
Okay, cool. I just didn't want it. For our listeners, they might be like, I don't even know. Well, this guy's talking a big game or whatever. Like,
he knows. Gosh, yeah.
No, but so you are a black belt.
I'm a black belt. And I think at the time I got the black belt at 16. And I think that's the cutoff. Like, that's the minimum age you had to be at that time.
Oh, cool. So you got one at the beginning. Like, okay, black belt. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to say, oh, cool. Even though we just talked about how, like, not like Zen that is. But, like, it's still cool. I mean, it's still cool. It's a skill. I can roll joints.
Yeah.
That's a skill.
I mean, yeah, there is a version of karate in my mind that's 100% good. No bad parts. I'm not sure I'll be able to teach that. I probably won't be able to teach that. And to someone else, they have that version as well. And then also I could do that with dance. Like, I don't have to fight someone.
No.
We could, like, we can, you know.
Body movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really at its core. It's about, like, that mind-body movement.
Exactly.
Not the stuff that makes it yucky. Well, don't worry. We're humans, so everybody finds a way to turn something around.
Right.
Okay, but, okay, riddle me this. For anyone who has not had karate in their life, what would you recommend people do if they want to know more about the philosophical aspects of martial arts or karate? Like, maybe not just the dojo down the street, mm-hmm. not just, like, get into it, because it sounds like what you've said is that a lot of those spiritual aspects aren't always guaranteed a part of it.
Right.
So if someone independently wanted to augment their physical practice with philosophy, do you have any hot tips? Got any books that you'd recommend? You know what I mean? Or you can think on it and we'll post it in the Patreon or something.
Oh, cool.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, any documentaries that you're like, that's it.
I want to say that don't do anything with another person. If you're going to do karate, just, like, learn kata and then study that as a form of moving meditation, not as a form of fighting, not as a form of, can I kill my next door neighbor because they're too loud? Nothing like this. Like, but anyone who hears this that's done karate says, like, oh, that's like an untested form of combat or something. That person is talking with, like, Mars, the god of war, as their consciousness. Then don't worry about karate. Go
get a book.
Join a Muay Thai.
Be better off doing Muay Thai.
Yeah.
Or, like,
go do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Go join the wrestling club. Mm. Then, like, please have at it. Like, have your fun. Mm.
You mentioned something called kata, and I just want to make sure we explain what that is. What is kata?
It's a form of moving meditation with motions originally used for human combat. Now, movements in the air. Putting your body in certain positions for mindfulness, not combat. A lot of people try to relate it to combat.
Mm. But it is the hand stuff.
It's just like moving in the air.
Yeah, it's moving in the air. Yeah. But just so people, if they're like, what? I've heard of this. But so it's what you think of as karate is actually kata.
Yes.
Yeah. Or, like, what people commonly think of as, like, the hand stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That is kata. So those are positions that you practice. Yes. Like, ballet has positions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, blah, blah, blah. So you think people could independently just study it as a mindful meditation practice. Cool. That makes me feel encouraged, dude. Because I don't want that, like, aggro energy. Like, that's not what draws me to martial arts. It's like, yeah. Like, is there a way we can teach martial arts without being aggro?
Like, I don't know if primates can do it. Maybe maybe a different planet. But I think that it's worth a shot. And then, like, once the thing starts to fall apart with entropy and stuff, then we start beating the crap out of each other.
And then it's all there. It's like, well, don't worry about it because we all studied it as a meditation practice. Let's go. Okay. Yeah. Well, this has been great from one primate to another, the inescapable, like, is that possible? Sure. In another universe. Humans here on this planet? Probably not. No. We seem pretty far gone. Yep. I mean, real true. Alan, if people want to find more you or talk to you or be curious about you, where can they find you on the internet?
I have my own website, and that's basically it. You can email me. It's alangodshaw.com.
Sick.
Whatever I do is nothing is, like, you know, nothing is too important. I'm just, like, living and trying to be as happy as I can in that moment. So say whatever, I don't care. Say what's up or say you hate me. I do not mind.
You go, oh, that sounds like, okay, well, that sounds like more penance, Alan. That's
come at me, buddy.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds like penance. You're like, you know what? No, but the words can't touch me. You can't even hurt me. Try and strike me. You can't even find me. I'm air. You can't hit air. Let's go. I'm like, well, let's just leave it at, if you want to reach out for more, just an opportunity for penance. Like, okay, great. And if you want to find more of me, you can find me all across the internet, HARTO, that's Harto, or by supporting this podcast by liking, subscribing, rating, and reviewing. Alan, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm so glad. And earbuds, thanks for listening. I will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.